What's up, guys? This is Brad. So we got some news this week that Quentin Tarantino has decided to no longer make The Movie Critic his 10th and final movie. I mean, this thing was about ready to shoot, I think, in August. There was word on the street that Brad Pitt was going to join the cast, and then out of nowhere, The Movie Critic was canceled by the man himself. Now, when he announced The Movie Critic, there was a part of me that was let down that this was going to be his last movie. I didn't want him to make this movie. We all have an idea, you know, of what his 10th and final film should be. But then there was another side of me that was like, this sounds really cool. It sounded original. So if Tarantino's going to go out, he might as well go out with an original movie. So then I was like, okay, sign me up. And then I started hearing things about The Movie Critic where it kind of morphed into a metaverse idea where his movies would exist in the same universe as The Movie Critic. He was going to bring back characters from his previous movies, supposedly, and Cliff Booth, Brad Pitt's character from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, was going to have a big part in this. So then I started thinking, like, wow, this could be really cool. Is this going to be us watching movies that Tarantino never got to make, and our main character through that journey is Cliff Booth? Because if so, that sounds really cool. Or maybe Tarantino was going to remake 70s movies within the world of The Movie Critic. So I was all on board with The Movie Critic being his final film. I got used to the idea. So anyway, with this news breaking a few days ago, I wanted to talk about what Tarantino's final film should be, now that The Movie Critic got axed. And then I remember that Nathan Planiga and I recorded a podcast in 2019 called The Unmade Films of Quentin Tarantino. We talked about his unmade movies and what his 10th and final movie should be. I listened to it today. I still agree with what I said in the podcast, but I'd also be cool if his last film is what Nathan wants. I think by the end of this podcast, we were both on the same page. If his 10th and final film was either one of the movies that we wanted in this podcast, I think we would end up being happy. Anyway, I thought this was a fun conversation, guys, from 2019. And I'm going to repost it so we can revisit episode number 353. So without further delay, let's talk about the unmade films of Quentin Tarantino and what his last movie should be. Enjoy. What's up, Videolanders? I'm your host, Brad Hawkins, and calling in from Monticello, Indiana, is Nathan Planiga. Thanks for calling, Nate.
No problem, Brad. Thanks for having me.
To all of our listeners, welcome to episode number 353. Tonight we'll be talking about the unmade films of Quentin Tarantino. But first, I want to remind everyone that you can find us on adventuresinvideoland.com or on our Facebook at Adventures in Videoland. Also, we are critics with attitude, which means sometimes we might say inappropriate things. So if you're easily offended, this might not be the podcast for you. And spoiler alert, I don't think we're going to be spoiling anything, Nate, but just in case, we are spoilers all the time. All right, Nate, let's start with a quote from Quentin Tarantino. He said, "I'm really well-versed on a lot of directors' careers, you know? And when you look at those last five films when they were past it, when they're too old, and they're really just out of touch with times, you know? To me, it's all about my filmography. And I want to go out with a terrific filmography. Death Proof has got to be the worst movie I ever make. I do think one of those out-of-touch, old, limp, flaccid dick movies costs you three good movies as far as your rating is concerned. It's a grade point average. I think I risk failure every single time with the movies I do, and I haven't fallen into failure. Risking failure is not what I'm afraid of. Failing is what I'm afraid of." So real quick, man, what's your thoughts on this quote, and what's your thoughts on Tarantino retiring after his 10th film?
I'm okay with him retiring after his 10th film because I do think there's some truth to that. If you look at directors like I love Kevin Smith, you know, when his earlier stuff is just, I think it's great, you know, because you can tell he has a passion for what he's doing. And then lately you look at a lot of the things that he's done and it's just like, and I think I've even heard him say in interviews, you know, like, you know, why are you making this stuff? He's like, well, when I was young, I was like, I had a drive for it. I was hungry for it, you know. And now it's just like, well, I mean, this is what I do. You know, I make movies. You know, I don't really I guess I don't really fucking care. It's just like, you know, I need a paycheck. And, you know, I would hate, I don't want to see anybody end up like that, you know, especially, certainly not Tarantino. So I think if you have a roadmap going forward, say, oh, look, let's put some arbitrary number on it. Let's say 10 films. I'm fine with that, you know?
All right, so we
I think he has the right of it. Yeah, like you want to go out on top in a sense.
So we might disagree a little bit here. I talked about this recently in an AV Quickie. You just brought up Kevin Smith. I think two of Kevin Smith's best films, in my opinion, is Red State and Tusk. I love both those movies.
No, I agree with I agree with you with Red State and Tusk.
But I think retiring at 10 is just a ridiculous number, man. Like, Tarantino is such a rare director, and one of my favorite directors, by the way. And I think he has so much more to give to cinema. I mean, there's so many Tarantino movies that I want to see. And this being too old to direct, I think is just plain garbage, man. Like, George Miller, for an example. You know, George Miller made Fury Road when he was, like, fucking 73, okay? And Martin Scorsese made Wolf of Wall Street in his 70s, man. And those are great flicks, man. Those are hard dick movies, all right, at 70, man. So I think if you still have a desire to make movies, I think that's where it should probably come from, right? If you still have a desire to make movies and to tell stories, then make movies and tell stories. I don't think there's a magic number or a magic age, you know? I think Hollywood, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think that feels like an old man Tarantino movie. And like I said in our review, that's not a diss. I love Quentin Tarantino, man, but I think this quote's ridiculous. Okay, so we might disagree.
No, I agree with you, because at the same time, like, it's completely arbitrary. Like, it's a complete, like, oh, 10 films, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, he does have all of these, not necessarily loose ends, but things that he's said over the years. Like, I want to do this, I want to do that. Oh, there's rumors that he's involved in this. Like, and some of this is good shit.
Yeah.
You know?
It would suck if that 11th movie or that 11th idea came up, you know? And he's like, nope, got to stick to my guns. I have 10. You know?
It's like, fuck it. It's just bullshit. It's just a made-up fucking, oh, 10. Why, well, you know? And frankly, he's already at 10. He's already going through fucking loopholes to be like, so, well, Kill Bill is one film. Well, either Kill Bill is one film or Death Proof doesn't count.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was a grindhouse thing. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And, you know, he's probably going to stick to that, too. He seems like one of those guys that will just, you know, he'll do what he says. You know?
He'll stick to it just to be a dick.
Exactly. Yeah. I was listening to an interview with Brad Pitt, and he's like, you know, Brad Pitt was like, you know, you guys have those friends, you know, that, you know, when they say something, they mean it. It's like, I know Tarantino. And when he says 10, you know, there's a lot of articles, a lot of interviews, a lot of people saying, there's no way he's going to stick to 10. He'll probably do 11, 12, whatever, you know. And he's like, no, I know Tarantino. When he says 10, it means 10. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how this all, you know, comes together at the end of the day. But he also brought up Death Proof in that quote, man. Do you think that's his worst movie?
You know what, man? So first of all, I like Death Proof.
Yeah, so do I.
I don't think it's a fucking masterpiece, but I think you have to think about what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a grindhouse double feature next to a zombie movie where a girl gets her leg cut off with a machine gun. It's like replaced with a machine gun, and then it's the double feature to that, where a stuntman kills girls with his car.
Yeah.
Like, it's not supposed to be Inglourious Basterds. It's not supposed to be I mean, and if it were, you had Planet Terror and then fucking, you know, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
It would be fucking ridiculous. That's not what it's supposed to be.
You know what? I don't think Death Proof is a masterpiece either, but dude, every time I watch Death Proof, it grows on me. You know, it's Tarantino's version of a slasher flick, you know, instead of a knife like Michael Myers used, you know, the stuntman uses a car. You have the girls, you have the whole setup of an 80s slasher flick, you know. I actually love Death Proof. It's probably set somewhere in the middle of my list, but I think I would probably go, I don't know, gun to my dick, man. I'd probably go Hateful Eight, maybe. Worst movie. What about you?
I would agree. Yeah. I have no desire to watch Hateful Eight more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas every other film, even I'm not a huge I like scenes, I like elements of Inglourious Basterds, and I like talking about Inglourious Basterds, but I don't love watching it.
Yeah.
But like, you know, but even there, like, I would rather watch Death Proof than a fair number of them, honestly. Like,
yeah, honestly. Anyway, I'm looking at another quote right now. I'll just skim the article, but basically it says that You know, Tarantino said he's thinking about stepping away from directing movies, that he won't be finished creating, though. You know, he wants to become a man of letters, okay, is what this article says, you know, which sounds awesome.
Sure.
A man of letters. You know, so anyway, he wants to write. He wants to write plays, novels. He wants to write TV shows. He's even talked about maybe even directing a miniseries. So it looks like he's still going to be active. He'll just be finished, you know, with movies, which I think is a nice segue in tonight's conversation. The unmade films of Quentin Tarantino. I think we can agree on one thing, Nate. And I think that is that Tarantino likes to talk, doesn't he?
Yo, he certainly likes to fucking run his mouth, yeah.
Man, since as long as I can remember, he's talked about making all kinds of movies. And then those movies get curbed and he moves on to other projects. So, Nate, let's play a little game tonight, man. It's called Business Suits. You're familiar with that game, right?
Oh, I love Business Suits. Yeah, I think I played Business Suits on my very first episode, my AV Assemble.
I love this game, man. We will put on the suits, and we will play the role of the studio system. We'll play the role of Tarantino's agent. We are God, okay? We get to map out the next 15 years of Tarantino. So I think he's 56 now. He'd be like 71 at that point. So that's younger than Scorsese and Miller, all right, when they made Wolf of Wall Street and Fury Road. So sound good?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, a few rules, though, all right? So here's the rules for tonight's Business Suits. I'm going to list some movies that Tarantino has talked about directing in the past. We have to decide what happens to that project, all right? Will it be his 10th film, novel, will it be a play, a miniseries, a hard pass, or other, okay?
Okay.
Rule number two, we can't make Tarantino do anything that he doesn't want to do, right? So we can't make up our own movie, all right? We can. We have to create something out of the movies that he's mentioned in the past. All right. And he says he's finished after 10. So we only get one last movie. All right.
Right.
And rule number three, we can purchase one and only one of each other's proposed projects.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like if you come up with an awesome idea as a business suit, I can buy that project.
Okay.
All right. All right. Okay. So there's no order here. So let's start with Killer Crow. All right. This was going to be a prequel to Inglourious Basterds. It involved Aldo Rain in Italy with a troop of black soldiers. Basically, a bunch of black troops get fucked over by the American military, and then they kind of go apeshit. All right, I was doing some reading on that today. And Tarantino said I was going to do it as a miniseries, and that was going to be one of the big storylines. When I decided to try to turn it into a movie, you know, that was a section I had to take out to help tame my material. I have most of that written. It's ready to go. I just have to write the second half of it. And then Tarantino said he has at least 4 or 5 stories through the 50s and 60s with these characters. So I think that's with the Crows and the Bastards. All right. So what are you going to do with Killer Crow, Nate?
Oh, man. So of the spinoff projects, you know what I mean? Like where you're taking a character from one of the movies and sort of expanding on it. Aldo Rain's probably the one I want the most. You know, having said that, I mean, if you unpack it, right, and it's like, because I've heard that Killer Crow's kind of meant to be like the Django Bastards trilogy.
Yeah, I've heard something like that, yeah.
That it's, I don't know, so you've got this group of black soldiers who are kind of tricked by the government to go on this, like, Apache war path across Europe and kill white soldiers and stuff, and like, as much as I want more Aldo Rain stuff, like, to be honest, it just feels a little like I don't ever want Tarantino to like retread old ground. Like I feel like I've seen this already. Like I've seen fucking Hateful Eight, I've seen Django, I've seen, you know, plenty of films where like black dudes are just beating the shit out of white guys, and like it's enjoyable, but like I just feel, you know what I mean? You hear things. There's some things on this list. They're like, you hear it, and it's like, that is, it's just maybe too Tarantino, or it's cool, but you've already kind of done it. I don't know that I necessarily need that story.
So you passing then?
I would personally probably pass on Killer Crow.
Okay. So this is the first project that we're going to differ on a little bit here. So Tarantino said he was initially going to turn this into a miniseries. So I'm sticking with that idea. All right. So did you notice that Hateful Eight just dropped on Netflix?
Yeah, and it's in two parts, isn't it?
Actually, four episodes with added footage. Four episodes, and yeah, okay. I think it's 4 hours long now. Okay, so it's exactly. Okay. I don't know if that's not gonna help Hateful Eight anything.
You spend like 2 hours in the carriage.
Probably, yeah.
Is it real time travel?
But supposedly he's gonna do the same thing when Hollywood releases, and I think Netflix. Okay. So I don't know. Netflix is the testing ground here for I think Tarantino's first streaming event. You know, I would make Killer Crow Tarantino's first miniseries after he retires. Five or six episodes, connect it to Inglourious Bastards, get Brad Pitt back. He's worked with Netflix in the past, you know?
I know Brad really wants... Brad really liked Aldo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it's one of those things where you hear him talk about being involved in that project, and he's like, you know, Tarantino didn't just come to me and say, like, okay, here's your lines, here's your character. It's like, you know, pages and pages of, like, backstory. You know, they never even kind of go into like how he gets
the scar on
his
neck,
burn on his neck, yeah. And shit. You know, like,
yeah,
he's like, I was like, shit, I want to come back and just do this right now.
Yep. So I bring back Brad Pitt, connected to Inglourious Bastards. You know, show us how he got the scar on his neck. I think that sounds like a solid plan to me, man. And it would be Tarantino's fucked up band of brothers. You know. Yeah. And I think there's a market for that. I think that's something I would want to watch. So you gonna buy that, Nate? You gonna pass on that?
You may have sold me on the miniseries. Sold me on like a Netflix miniseries. I want to see what else you got.
Okay. Okay.
Before I make it.
All right. Next up, Quentin Tarantino has recently hired a writer for Django Zorro. So it's gonna be a movie, hopefully based on the comic book. The comic was written by Tarantino. It was released by Dynamite Entertainment and DC Comics. I actually have it in front of me right now. It's a fun read. Have you ever read it?
No, but I know that you really... We've talked about it before because I know you're really into it.
Yeah, it's pretty much a sequel to Django Unchained. So the story takes place years after the events of that movie. Here's a quick plot synopsis. Django is still a bounty hunter, and since there's a warrant on his head back east, he has he's mainly been plying his trade in the western states. He safely settles his wife near Chicago. He takes to the road once again, sending her funds whenever he completes a job. It's by sheer chance that he encounters the aged and sophisticated Diego de la Vega, a.k.a. Zorro. And it's not long before Django becomes Diego's bodyguard and joins him on a mission to free the local indigenous people from slavery. All right, so that's kind of that's the plot of Django and Zorro. So I'll start this one real quick, man. I want... another Tarantino Robert Rodriguez joint. All right.
I would like
one because they've been working together for years, man, with From Dusk Till Dawn, you know, Planet Terror, Death Proof. They even worked together a little bit in Four Rooms. You know, they each had a segment in Four Rooms. So I want another Tarantino Robert Rodriguez joint. And I think this could be it, man. Tarantino rebooted the Django franchise. So I want him to kind of oversee the script. And then Robert Rodriguez can direct, maybe bring back Antonio Banderas, man, or get some new blood, like, get Gael Garcia Bernal. That'd be so fucking awesome. And then, you know, I'd like to continue the story of Django. So this is a no-brainer for me. If not Robert Rodriguez, then, you know, pick your director, whatever. True Romance is proof that another director can make a great Tarantino movie.
Right.
So, what are you doing with Django Zorro, Nate? I'm pretty much having Tarantino produce and oversee the script.
I would be fine with that. Honestly, like, I would be fine if you just continued it in the comic book form.
Okay.
Like, I'm not a big fan. I'm cool with, like, hey, it's a movie, and then it becomes a comic series. But when it's a movie, and then it's a comic series, and then we're going to go, then it's going to be another movie that continues off the comic series, like... I don't love that just from a usability standpoint and getting people, you know, getting people into it like, oh yeah, like, well, there's a comic book you got to read if you want to know how, you know, what happened in between. But, you know, yeah, this is, the, you know, I'm fine with it staying in comic book form. Honestly.
See,
although the Robert Rodriguez, like if you executive produce Robert Rodriguez, maybe direct. I'm that's definitely interesting.
Because, like, dude, check this out. A Robert Rodriguez Zorro movie.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds fucking sick. And I think just bringing back Zorro, you know, would be fresh at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think the audiences would eat up another Django movie. So I think that's a no-brainer for me. So I'm going to go Robert Rodriguez directing and then Tarantino producing and writing.
Okay.
So you're sticking with like a just graphic novel. You're going to do another sequel?
I would keep
just gonna continue that story.
In fact, there's a lot of other things. There are a lot of other things that he wants to do, like the John Brown biopic, or I would say the 40 Lashes Less One, those sort of things. I would honestly tie that into the graphic novel.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Where like Django encounters those characters and, you know, hilarity ensues.
Okay.
Right.
I'll talk about that here in a little bit. Let's talk about Double V Vega.
Okay.
All right, so every Tarantino fan knows that Mr. Blonde from Reservoir Dogs and Vincent Vega from Pulp Fiction are brothers, right?
Right.
Okay, so Tarantino has been talked about Double V Vega, man, for, again, as long as I can remember. Initially, it was going to take place during Vincent's time in Amsterdam. And then, I think it was in 2010, Michael Madsen was still talking about Double V Vega. Kind of a different idea. He said that I'd be Vic Vega's twin brother. Travolta would be Vincent's twin brother, and we're both on a flight from Los Angeles, having just been released from prison, and neither one of us know that we're the twin brother of the one, and we're both on our way back to L.A. to avenge the death of our brothers. Okay?
That's fucking stupid.
That sounds like some crazy Brian De Palma shit. So, what are you doing with Double V Vega?
I don't mind... Okay. So, like... I've heard Tarantino, I think, was initially really excited about this. But later on, he was like, he's like, I had a name for it. You know, like, I've got, you know, a rough outline, but it never went beyond that. But basically, it was like, it was going to take place in Amsterdam. And then, you know, Vincent's in Amsterdam, right? And he's running the club for Marcellus Wallace.
I think so, yeah.
I think that's what he says he was doing in Amsterdam. And then Vic comes to visit for the weekend, and then, you know, hilarity ensues, right? Like, that's the plot, right? Hard to do it live action, I think, at this point, because, yeah. Oh, you're not going to get Madsen and Travolta to come back to play characters.
Exactly.
20 years younger.
Well, hey, we got that that Marvel de-aging, Nate.
I know, but it's like, first of all, and also, I'll be honest, I don't know that I want a Madsen starring role. You know what I mean? A little bit of Madsen goes a long way, even when Tarantino directs.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, man, John Travolta and Michael Madsen as brothers seems perfect, though, doesn't it, in a movie?
It does. I want to see more of it, but you know what? I don't want them to recast them.
Yeah.
That would just be weird. I don't want them to recast them. I don't think it's feasible necessarily to get them to come back. So I don't know, man. I would continue it probably as a graphic novel. It would be a comic, or it would be a novel.
Okay.
I'm interested in the story, 100%. The logistics of making it happen live action, I just don't see it happening.
Okay. All right. What would I do with this? I think I agree. I think it's too late in the game for this movie. It could still work if these brothers just got out of prison. Like, I'm talking 2019, 2020, right? All these years later, and they've already known about their brothers dying in the 90s, you know? But they just got out of prison, and they just kind of, like, accidentally run into each other. And, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to pass. No. You know what? However, I think I would read the shit out of this novel.
Yeah, like, I'm interested in the story. I don't think if you released it, I don't think enough people give a shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but, in a printed format, a graphic novel or a book, like, I'd for sure read it.
Yeah, he said he wanted to do novels. I'm going to do a novel, man. I can actually, you can see the title, right? Double V Vega with, like, a cheap dime store cover, you know? I think that'd be badass. So as a business suit, I think I'm going to want to kind of rekindle some classic Tarantino magic, you know, especially like 5 years down the road, 6 years down the road. I'm going to make this Tarantino's first novel after retirement. I think that's what I'm going to do. Maybe sometime after his first miniseries, my critically acclaimed Killer Crow on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go novel, Double V Vega.
Okay.
All right. Next up. Let's see. Let's clump the next two together because that's... So this is how I want to see them in a miniseries, maybe Netflix or something. I'm going to clump Modesty Blaze and the Berlin Game Trilogy together.
Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what I did as well.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so just to catch everybody up that's listening, there's been talk about a Modesty Blaze since Vincent Vega was just, you know, reading her book on the crapper in Pulp Fiction. Remember that scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Max Cherry was reading the Berlin novel in Jackie Brown.
Yeah.
So we're going to bring this all full circle. So to break all this down, Modesty is pretty much an action-adventure spy series. You know, it has a strong female lead. So I'm going to combine that with the Berlin Game Trilogy. I just pulled up a quote from Tarantino. He said, "I love England. You know, it would be a wonderful life experience to have an excuse to work here for 6 or 9 months. One of the things I am musing about doing is a trilogy of books, Berlin Game, Mexico Set, and London Match." He then says, "The story takes place in the Cold War and follows a spy named Bernard Sampson. It has really great characters and the wonderful opportunities of British and German casting," which, man, can you just imagine Tarantino having fun with the casting there?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But then he goes on to say that he wants to, Simon Pegg to play Bernard Sampson. I would love a Tarantino spy series, dude, with Simon Pegg. I mean, come on, dude, that'd be awesome. Combine all these books together, I think, for a miniseries. Go get Christoph Waltz, man. Give us some original, you know, casting, British and German casting. I think this would be fucking amazing. And Tarantino was interested at one point in directing Casino Royale and Man from U.N.C.L.E. I think he's perfect for this, man. This would be fucking brilliant, man. And then Bernard Sampson sounds like a Tarantino character. It's, you know, connecting him back to Elmore Leonard, man. So that's where I'm going. I'm going to do my second miniseries.
That's exactly, yeah. I have produced miniseries, you know, guest direct. You combine elements with Modesty Blaze, man. Like, it was surprising going through this list and just seeing all of the spy stuff that Tarantino has talked about. You know, like, the, you know, not Modesty Blaze, Berlin Game, but also, like you said, like, with he wants to do Casino Royale.
Yeah.
And I think he said he wanted to bring back Pierce Brosnan. I would eat that shit up.
Dude, supposedly he was going to film it in black and white and all kinds of shit. Dude, yeah. Tell me how cool that would have been.
Oh, I would fucking eat that up, dude.
Supposedly, that's why they made Casino Royale, because he wanted to make it and got people talking, and they're like, well, fuck, we should do Casino Royale, and then they, you know, brought in Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
So, yeah, dude, I think that sounds perfect, though, don't you? I think Modesty Blaze, we might have to play with the timeline a little bit and maybe have it get absorbed into Berlin Trilogy. But with the strong female...
Yeah, it's a loose adaptation, I think.
Yeah. But, yeah, and to have, like, the strong female character, you know, with Bernard Sampson, and having Tarantino... So, because Tarantino's already done, you know, Westerns and, you know, war movies and all kinds of kung fu flicks, man. Like, I think if I could do another movie, I would incorporate this somehow, so where this was his 10th film. Like, I already have my 10th picked out. But I think, dude, a Tarantino spy movie, or even a miniseries, sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
I think so too, man, yeah.
So you're going to clump them all together then?
That's what I would do for sure.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Let's clump some other properties together. Tarantino has dropped multiple comic book characters, you know, names in the past, The Shadow, Luke Cage, Green Lantern, multiple others. So what's your thoughts on Tarantino doing a comic book project?
I don't mind it, although the stuff that I've heard, a lot of the stuff that I've heard, like with Luke Cage, it's, I don't know that I've heard him say necessarily that he wanted to do it. It just that, like, I heard him, he was critical of the Netflix adaptation, because I think if you take Luke Cage out of the 70s, it just fucks with him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, you know, look, when you've got Luke Cage, you know, Marvel actually did a pretty decent job of making, like, a blaxploitation themed sort of character. You know, he's like, go back to, like, issue number one and adapt to that. You know, like, Luke Cage, hero for hire. Like, and I think he's like, you know, if I would do it, I would do that. And my only problem with that is that, like, I just feel like he's already done the blaxploitation thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of the same thing I said with, like, the Killer Crow thing. Like, I've already seen him do it. And frankly, I love Jackie Brown. So, like, it's like, I've already maybe seen you do this and probably do it better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't need a superhero film necessarily from Tarantino.
Yeah, you know what? That spy series keeps on sounding more and more enticing, you know, just because it was...
The spy series, yeah, because it's fresh.
It's fresh for him,
yeah. It's not Nazis. It's not racial tensions.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily all feet. You know, it's, you know... spy shit. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I will say though, with the Shadow, right? Uh-huh. Like he, you know, he wants to, and then with the poll we did, it was quite popular. Then he wants to do 1930s gangster type shit.
Yeah.
And you could certainly do a 1930s gangster type shit with the Shadow, and that could be pretty cool. And it's pulpy and it's stylishly violent. And, like, I could be cool with that.
So, like, what would you do with a Shadow then? Would you make a miniseries, or are you going to make that your 10th film?
I certainly wouldn't make it the film.
Okay.
I suppose miniseries, because I think that writing it out as a graphic novel maybe seems like the obvious choice, but the miniseries, I don't think the stylish kind of violence that you see, that you recognize from Tarantino necessarily translates well into a graphic novel where you kind of tend to expect those things.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like it maybe has to be a film thing, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
I tell you what though, man, if he had, you know, multiple films left in him and he was going to do like 13, you know, I'm going to stop at 13. Dude, a Shadow movie would be fucking sick, man.
It would be cool. And he wants to be, is it Lucio Fulci?
Yeah.
The psychic?
Yeah.
He's always wanted to do that, right? And it's about this girl who sort of foresees murders and solves this crime, puts crimes together. Like, the Shadow has psychic fucking powers. Like, you could still pay homage to the psychic. It could be that same kind of plot, but it's the Shadow. You know what I mean?
So you're thinking maybe, like, the Shadow with a Lucio Fulci spin to it?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, that sounds sick as fuck, man. Like a movie then? Like a 70s Shadow or like 30s Shadow?
No, it would be 30s.
Okay.
I would still want it to be like a real pulpy 30s thing. But again, it's not that I think the movie sounds cool, but you get one more fucking movie from Tarantino.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's the one.
Yeah, yeah. That does sound badass though. So if you could do it, you would do miniseries then?
I guess it would have to be.
Directed by Tarantino, right? Not giving it to someone else to do?
I would want it directed by Tarantino, yeah.
Okay, so miniseries. Now, out of all the ones that you've said, I'll see what else you're going to say later, but I would purchase that one.
Okay.
Yeah, a Shadow with some, you know, homage to Lucio Fulci, dude. That sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. So, for me, as a business suit, I have too many original properties I want Tarantino to make. And the comic book industry is pretty healthy at this point. Like, what do they do? 100 comic book movies a year?
Pretty much,
So, I would, however, influence Tarantino to write a few graphic novels. You know, I love it when other creators tackle comic book characters. I've been reading, you know, Kevin Smith's Daredevil, Green Hornet, Green Arrow, and those are all great books. I would love to see Tarantino mess around in this sandbox. You know, whatever comics he wants to write, I'm in full support of as a business suit. Man, like The Shadow or Green Hornet written by Tarantino, 70s blaxploitation Luke Cage, graphic novels, fuck yeah. So if he wants to do 3, 4, 5 of these fucking things in a 15-year span, I'm completely happy with, let's just throw out Shadow, Green Hornet, Luke Cage, and fuck, maybe The Phantom. You know, something pulpy.
Yeah.
But I think that'd be great. So I would go, because we already have Django Zorro in trade paperback. So let's add a few more cool titles. So I would, any comic stuff he wants to do, sky's the limit for me in graphic novels.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Tarantino has also talked about doing a horror movie in the past, right? He's talked about Friday the 13th, saying he'd make the ultimate Jason Voorhees movie. And he's talked about doing a remake of, you know, Lucio Fulci's The Psychic, which we just talked about. So you said you kind of wanted to incorporate the psychic with The Shadow. So what are you doing with Friday the 13th?
I'll be honest. So first of all, let's just address kind of what he said. My understanding is that people said, you know, he was tapped to do this. My understanding is that in an interview, he said New Line approached him to do a Jason movie, and he's like, look, I like Jason, but I don't want to direct the Jason movie. But I think if you can convince him as a businessman, as a suit, if you can convince him that that's a project worth pursuing, that would be the 10th film.
Oh, that'd be fucking amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think you have to convince him that because I think, you know, you and I both, I think, so when I was growing up, I was a big Freddy fan, and we did that Freddy versus Jason marathon, and I went into it really shitting on Jason, because I didn't like him as a kid, but I really, really enjoyed it. And I think we both kind of agree that, like, the best Jason movie hasn't been made yet.
Yeah, and I think the best, yeah, I agree with that. But if we had to pick one, I think we both agree that Never Hike Alone should be in that conversation.
I absolutely think so. Yeah. Yeah, 100%, man. And, you know, to think of, you know, if you do a fucking Friday the 13th movie, you've got stylish violence, you've got, you know, old school cinema, you've got overt sexuality, lots of women's feet, you know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of fucking Tarantino there,
yeah,
to work with. But if you can't convince him that that's the one, I would just say pass.
Yeah,
just fucking pass, because, you know, I don't know what else I would want him to do with it.
Yeah, this was a really hard one for me, man, because, yeah, I think he could direct the shit out of a
I think so too.
Out of a Jason
movie. My only concern
movie.
Is that it's fucking Madsen Under the Mask.
Yeah, that's funny.
You know what I mean? You can just fucking imagine it.
Michael Madsen as Jason Voorhees. That's fucking hilarious. Oh, man. For me, if he had another movie in him, okay, if he had an 11th movie, a straight horror movie would be my 11th film from Quentin Tarantino. Mm. All right, that would be my number 11. But the only reason I'm going to pass on a horror film being his 10th film is because we already have Death Proof, which is a Tarantino slasher, okay? So in his own way, he's already done horror, and I want something a little bit, you know, I want something fresh for his 10th film, you know?
Yeah.
And we have From Dusk Till Dawn, which, again, he worked with Robert Rodriguez on that. So,
right.
And a 70s Italian psychological horror joint from Tarantino, that would be legit, too. Man, goddamn, this was a really hard one, because I would love a Friday the 13th movie, but at this point, you know, the rights are all over the place, and I'm a business suit, so I have to think about that. And even if the rights get completely ironed out, like, say, in the next 5 years, you know, we just talked about Never Hike Alone, the fans have been making great films on their own. You know, it kind of reminds me of talking about the comic book movies. You know, it's like, comic book movies are in a good spot right now, you know? Jason Voorhees is in a good spot right now when talking, you know, from a fan perspective. They're making some good shit, so I hate to say it, but I'm going to pass on Jason Voorhees.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? Let this be his third or fourth graphic novel. Actually, I think I have 4 graphic novels right now, 5 including Django. Make this his 5th or 6th graphic novel, just because I'm very curious what a Jason Voorhees story looks like, you know, from the mind of Tarantino. Because if there's one horror icon I would like Tarantino to touch, it's Jason Voorhees.
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah, the psychic would be cool with a screenplay by Tarantino maybe producing, and then maybe Eli Roth directing. What do you think of that?
I don't know. I don't know about that. You lost me at Eli Roth.
Okay, because here's the thing. Like, it always goes back to you like Natural Born Killers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen it in a long time, so I don't have a big opinion. I remember liking it back in the day. But you know how Quentin Tarantino kind of disowns Natural Born Killers?
Yeah.
But he, you know, True Romance, you know, he's a big fan of. Right. I think that you can find a director to make a Tarantino movie. I'm not saying Eli Roth is the guy, but, man, we could still get that Tarantino flavor with the psychic if he just oversees it, produces, and then let someone else direct, you know, kind of like the Django Zorro.
Yeah.
I think that could be amazing.
I don't disagree with that, yeah, for sure.
So, I'm going to go some other director taking the psychic, him overseeing the project, and then I'm going to go Jason Voorhees, graphic novel.
Okay.
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 All right, next up, softcore porn, Nathan.
Okay, so so he had said... I think I have a quote from him about this, right? Where he was, first of all, he was like, you know, so if I actually did, you know, an erotic movie, I'm going to have to reveal what I find sexy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what turns me on. And, like, look, every if you've seen a Tarantino film, you know what turns him on. It's a fucking, yeah. Every single movie is just like women's feet up in the camera. Like, I was a Death Proof is nothing but like long shots of Mary Elizabeth Winstead's feet. Like, that's fucking all it is. Like, I'd pass. I don't need it. I think it's creepy enough as it is. Like,
he said, I have a quote from him. He said, the reason his films don't have sex is because he's too much of a gentleman to ask young ladies to disrobe. He said, if I were to write a real sex film, the actresses would have to be down with it. Like those great trampy actresses from Italy and Germany in the 70s. He's like, where they just go, roll the camera, motherfucker. Here we go. So come on, Nathan, what? You don't want a kinky cinematic like sex movie from Tarantino?
Not really.
Okay, let me see if you want to buy this, all right? Maybe bring back, because you know how he resurrects careers? You know, like John Travolta in Pulp Fiction? Maybe we get old man Michael Douglas, right? Getting his...
You think Michael Douglas is going to fuck somebody on screen?
Maybe get old man Michael Douglas, man, getting his fuck on in like a steamy Tarantino sex thriller? I'm going with a hard pass myself. But like you said, I think he's got an eye for sex, you know? Like you said, you brought up Death Proof.
He definitely has an eye for sex.
Yeah, he films actresses in a very sexy light. But yeah, I don't need a Tarantino sex movie, you know? I got too much other stuff going on as a suit. I'd beat off to it. But I already have body of evidence, man. So So yeah, hard pass.
Hard pass.
All right, I'm gonna clump the. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm gonna clump the next two together, okay? Because again, I want these two to coexist in a miniseries. All right, you kind of took this theme out of it earlier for me. But first off, a John Brown biopic. All right.
Okay.
So fill me out on this. All right. In 2009, Tarantino said, you know, there's one biopic that I'd be interested in, but it would probably be one of the last movies I ever make. My favorite hero in American history is John Brown. He's my favorite American who ever lived. He's basically single-handedly started the road to end slavery. And the fact that he killed people to do it, you know, he decided if we start spilling white blood, then they're going to, you know, start getting the idea. All right. So I want that John Brown biopic. I want that idea to coincide with, what do you think?
With 40 Lashes Less One.
It's a Western novel written by Elmore Leonard, who also wrote Jackie Brown. And I think Jackie Brown turned out amazing. So I think that kind of reins Tarantino in a little bit. And just to give everybody a quick plot synopsis here, that's about, and again, we have kind of seen this before. All right. So I feel you on that. But it's about two prisoners, an Apache and a black soldier. They're given a chance to be set free if they can hunt down and kill the five worst outlaws in the West. I think that sounds fun, though. All right? I think that
sounds
like money.
It sounds fun, dude. It's just, like, so Tarantino.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's, I think that sounds fun. I think all of that, all right, the John Brown and the 40 Lashes Less One, I think all of that would make for an interesting miniseries set around, because all that's, I think, Civil War. I'm not for sure about 40 Lashes. I know John Brown is. I think that would just make a great third miniseries for Tarantino in his 10 to 15 years. So that'd be my third and last miniseries. It'd be Killer Crow, Modesty, and the Berlin Trilogy, and then John Brown and 40 Lashes kind of mixed together. So let me sell it to you like this, all right? I'm going to package it to you like this. Think Django meets Deadwood meets Hateful Eight meets The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So you have this huge... And so you have
I can't
this huge,
even imagine what that is.
You have this huge Western... Because you know like in Hateful Eight, they talk about going to Red Rock, but you never see Red Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe this is our chance to see like Red Rock. You know, Red Rock is our Deadwood here, you know? Maybe you get a Django popping up in an episode, you know? Maybe you get to see a few of the Hateful Eight. You get The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. You get John Brown. You get the characters from, 40 Lashes. I think Tarantino would just have a fucking blast in a 6-8 episode miniseries on Netflix, man. I think that would be so much fun.
I would stand by. I still think that I would roll it into the Django Zorro graphic novel.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Where, like, you have all these characters who exist in a kind of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen type way. You know, like, they're all from their own separate universes, but they exist in the same universe. Yeah. And they, you know, occasionally team up.
Because I think we'll have too much going on for a Django Zorro movie that, you know, I don't think we could incorporate all of this into that. So this would just create a whole world, like a whole West world, if you would, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that would just be so much fun to play in that world with Tarantino.
So, yeah, I think those are the two that I would mix together for sure. I would want them to be, like you said, I would want them to be to occupy the same universe, right? You know, where like occasionally Django pops in or something, you know, for sure. I can get on board. I'm not sure how I fall on that.
So do you have any plans for these two stories then? You're just going to pass it up or?
Well, like I said, because I said before, like I want Django Zorro to remain graphic novel form. You can continue the story there. Obviously they don't stay together forever. You know what I mean? Django continue. It follows Django primarily. You know what I mean? And then his sort of, him meeting up with John Brown, him meeting up with the characters from 40 Lashes. I would be cool with that. It all exists. That's how I would want to play it. You get all of those same characters and those same themes in one series of graphic novels.
Okay. So, all right, before we get into the two big ones, all right, Kill Bill Volume 3 and Star Trek, are there any projects that you've heard him talk about that you'd like to see him work on, and, you know, in some capacity, anything you want to add?
Not really. I mean, I've heard, you know, like the Russ Meyers shit, like the Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff. I think that sounds cool. It sounds just super Tarantino. Not only does it sound super Tarantino, but it feels a little bit like just like Kill Bill. Or like, not Kill Bill, but the Deadly Viper Assassination Squad type shit that I've already seen it. I don't need that again. And then we already touched base on the Casino Royale thing. I think the Casino Royale thing would be fucking gold.
Oh, gold.
But, yeah.
I don't think after this point here, we're going to be purchasing each other's ideas, okay? Because we're going to go into Kill Bill Volume 3 and into Star Trek. So for me, I'm purchasing your the Shadow and the Lucio Fulci mix-up. Miniseries movie. I don't give a fuck what that is. I think that sounds amazing. Set in the 30s. Dude, a Lucio Fulci Shadow. Like, I just like the ring of that. That sounds amazing. So I'm going to purchase that as a suit. Anything that you're purchasing of mine then?
Yeah, so for sure. I would definitely purchase, looking back on it, it's easily my favorite. It was the first one. The Killer Crow. Aldo Rain sort of prequel Netflix miniseries.
Okay, that's going to go platinum, 100%. Dude.
That's the one that most interests me.
Okay. So let's talk about this, man. Kill Bill Volume 3. All right, so Tarantino has constantly talked about a third movie. Fuck, he just talked to Uma Thurman. Was it, like last week? We don't know what that conversation was about, but what do you want from Kill Bill 3? Anything? Everything?
I want any and all things associated with Kill Bill Volume 3. Yeah.
So what are you doing with this?
This is the movie.
This is your movie.
This is the movie, man. Yeah,
this is number 10. This is the one
you ended on.
Right on. This is your number 10. Okay, so what does this movie look like?
So we talked about it a little bit in the last episode, man. But I think it's the obvious setup, right? We've already sort of talked about. You've got, you know, Nikki wants revenge for the death of Vernita Green. So she trains with Elle, who's now this blind swordsman. She survives Bud's camper. You know, she's not killed by the snake. What's her name? I'm gonna lose track of her name. The lawyer, Sophie.
Yeah, yeah.
So gets her arm cut off. Sophie's probably still around as a mentor as well. And they raise Nikki. To get revenge.
Well, Sophie would probably get all of Bill's money, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, that would be so. I love that idea. Okay. I can't purchase that though, because that's your movie. All right, that's your number 10. I already have a 10, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't purchase that. But that, dude, I am all about that. That sounds amazing. And if you really do think about it, I think a 3 is warranted, you know? Because I think Nikki deserves her revenge every bit as much as the bride deserved hers in Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2.
Yeah, oh, no, 100%. I mean, you know, like, it's just in examining it, right? Like, so Bill talks about how, in that final confrontation, you're like, you know, Bill says he like overreacts, you know, to sort of being abandoned and lied to. But like, he's a killer, you know, he's a cold-hearted fucking bastard murderer, and he took revenge on Dee by attempting to kill her, you know, right? Like, Dee does the exact same thing in return. You know what I mean? Like, you know, in a sense, like she maybe thinks later on, hey, maybe I overreacted. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't, because she clearly loves Bill at the end. I mean, they have a very tearful and like heartfelt,
yeah,
you know, sort of end, you know, and it is her, you know, the father of her child, you know what I mean? So there's gotta be a big hole in her life. And so like, I think, you know, she probably regrets it, you know. Nikki comes back. I would say even probably kills Bee, and then BB avenges her mother, right?
Yeah. I think that sounds...
And then that closes it out.
Yeah, I think that sounds great, man. This was another hard one for me, because look, you know it, dude. Kill Bill is my favorite Tarantino film, all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, favorite Tarantino film. There's a part of me that wants a third film, and then there's another part of me that says, let's leave it alone, all right? Because I started thinking about, you know, like Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. I started thinking about the prequel Star Wars movies, you know? And then we, you know, something we've been talking about all night is, it just, as cool as that would be, okay? I've seen Kill Bill 1 and 2. He's touched the kung fu genre, you know? He's touched the war, the war movies. He's touched, you know, westerns. So for my 10th film, like, I want something different. Like, as much as this sounds badass, I would probably rather go with the spy movie, you know? Just because when you look at the 10, you know, it's something different. So as much as I want this film, I'm going to have to pass. So here's what I'm going to do, all right? I'm going to pass on the 10th film, but I'm going to push for Tarantino to do his one and only manga.
Okay,
so because Kill Bill is just a celebration of martial arts, and it has the, you know, a celebration of anime. Since he's only doing one more movie, and I have plans for that one movie, he's going to complete his Kill Bill trilogy with a manga. Because, you know, check that, if it sucks, it's easy to ignore, right?
Yeah.
And I'd like to see what his story is there. If it's awesome, great. I'll put it on the fucking bookshelf, and I'll read it every time I watch Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2. So that's what I'm going to do. I will add, though, I would watch the shit out of Kill Bill 3, all right?
Yeah.
I would probably beat off to it because it would be amazing balls, all right? So let's talk about Star Trek, all right? Tarantino is a fan of two classic episodes, all right? City on the Edge of Forever and Yesterday's Enterprise. Are you familiar with either one of those episodes?
I'm familiar with both of them, yeah.
Okay. So what's your opinion on those episodes real quick?
So... Well, first of all, City on the Edge of Forever is, I think widely sort of regarded as one of the best original series Star Trek films, but it's also, I think a lot of people consider it just some of the best classic television. It's a great episode. And I do think that it's probably right up Tarantino's alley. You got Nazis, you got fucking, you know, drugged out McCoy, you've got fucking, you know, there's a lot, you've got some weird racial shit tension going on. I think it works, you know what I mean? I think Yesterday's Enterprise, I would say it's one of, it's not nearly my favorite Next Generation episode, but it's considered one of the better Next Generation episodes, and it deals with similar things. It also deals with time travel, deals with a war with the Klingons, and kind of being in a hopeless situation, and how, you know, the Enterprise of one timeline has to sacrifice itself sort of heroically to prove itself to the Klingons, you know, just to, that's actually what starts peace.
Could you combine those two?
I think you could find a Well, it'd be hard to combine them because they're different. They're different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just by theme and story and plot. Could you kind of make it all that work?
Well, maybe. I mean, once you open up time travel, right? You could do anything. You could do anything at that point.
Yeah, and City on the Edge of Forever is in the 1930s, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So. Oh, I'm all about this, all right? So a screenplay already exists, all right? Paramount and JJ love Tarantino's story. So I know it's not your 10th, but what are you doing with this? And you're a hardcore Trekkie.
Yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to pass. Like, Trekkies are fucking dicks, dude. Like, just get so upset, and I understand. Like, I'm not necessarily like this, but like, people are just fucking dicks about, like, they'll argue about any little fucking thing about a uniform or the design of a fucking ship not being like accurate to what it was supposed to be, and like, I just don't want people to tear apart shit for no good fucking reason.
Uh-huh.
I also just think, like, if you're gonna do a time travel thing where you go into the 1930s, you know what I mean? I think it's a great television episode. I think if you're going to do that as a movie, you know what I mean? It's like, you could have done, it doesn't have to be Star Trek. You know what I mean? Like, you could have, if you want a 1930s movie, then make a fucking 1930s movie. I don't know that it's necessary.
I love what he said too. I don't have the quote in front of me, but he said there's so many Star Trek episodes, the classic ones, that would make great movies. They were just, since they were TV and so long ago,
they had no budget.
They had no budget, and they were short, you know? So it's like, man, let's build these up and do something exciting with them.
Well, I know he considers Shatner. Now, this is what fucking excites me. He considers Shatner like kind of his key into the series, right? Yeah. So you think about, like, revitalizing Shatner. Like, you know what I mean? How we love Tarantino bringing people back.
Yeah.
Oh. Bring back fucking Shatner. Because Shatner got a fucking... Kirk got a really anticlimactic death.
Yeah.
In Generations. And I would love for that to be somehow retconned by time travel. And then, you know, he goes back in the past. You don't even necessarily have to go to the 1930s. He could go back and save his son from when he dies in Undiscovered Country.
Oh, my God.
And changes things, and, like, you know, that could be really interesting.
And William Shatner under the direction of Tarantino, dude. The fucker's 89, though, I think. 86, something like that.
Yeah, I know he's so fucking salty about not being invited to, like, the fucking Kelvinverse shit.
I know, and I think this would, that would fix that. Yeah, dude. So I'm going, so what are you doing with this? So overall, what are you doing?
Oh, man. I feel like it's the same way that you worry about Kill Bill. How it's like, you know what I mean? Like, I do want to see this, but I just don't want it to be bad.
So you're just going to pass on this and get into the shadows too?
You could really convince me. You'd have to fucking really convince me. Because I don't want to see fucking Madsen. I don't want to see Madsen playing Scotty or some shit. You know what I mean?
You don't want to see Samuel Jackson playing a fucking Klingon?
Oh. I mean, I do, but I just, like, I want to see it for like a, I want to see it for like a Saturday Night Live skit or something. You know what I mean?
No, I feel you on that, dude, but you know what I'm doing? I'm going Pulp Fiction in space, motherfucker. All right. This is my 10th Tarantino film, all right?
All right.
Yeah, look, man, I really want him to make a science fiction movie, and I want him to do a 30s gangster movie, all right? Yeah. I want that so bad. So I want his big screen career to end in the 1930s with Tommy guns and with fucking Nazis. And dude, I think that sounds fucking amazing. I want it to end with William Shatner, directing William Shatner on the big screen, okay? Yeah. Give him his swan song. And you know what's really curious, too, is Tarantino does not like CGI. So that means more practical sets and, you know, fucking working with models. And, dude, this sounds amazing to me, all right? So I get the 1930s, I get practical effects, I get science fiction. So I get something new from Tarantino, and I get something old with, like, 30s gangster shit, if that's what he's going to do, okay?
Right. So I get, like, look, don't get me wrong. Like, I feel like if you're gonna, if he can nail it, it could be fucking next level amazing.
It could be Pantheon.
Like, if he can nail it, I want it more than almost anything.
Yeah, it could. If he nails it,
so much about it.
If he nails it, it could be Pantheon.
Yeah.
It could, and if he's gonna work with Chris Pine and the entire cast of the new Star Trek, which I think is a brilliant cast. You know, he gets to work with Simon Pegg, and then there was talks about bringing Chris Hemsworth back because of time travel. Can you imagine Chris Hemsworth and Chris Pine and Simon Pegg all in 1930s fucking Chicago or 19? He's also talked about doing like a 1930s Australian movie. Say they go to fucking Australia instead of you know what, dude? The sky's the limits with this, man. I think this is fucking amazing to me. And if you're going out, you might as well go big. Guaranteed to be his best opening, don't you think?
You think it would open better than Kill Bill 3?
Yeah, I think so. Like, you look at, I know this is a fucking, when was Kill Bill made?
I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, so it's been, what, it's almost 10 years, isn't it?
It would be 10 years, probably. I was going to say 2009, 2010.
Yeah, so I know we got some time here, but Kill Bill 1 and 2 didn't even clear $400 million.
Okay.
Okay, Hollywood hasn't even made $100 million, and that's with DiCaprio and with Brad Pitt. I think it's like at, fuck, I want to say 89, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it hasn't even cleared $100 million. Star Trek Beyond made 400 by itself, and that's after everyone hated on Into the Darkness.
All right.
Okay? So you put Tarantino, Star Trek, rated R, getting everybody, because that's going to get everybody talking, okay?
Yeah.
And there's no bad press. Even if you agree or disagree with that, people are going to go see it. And
people would go see it.
And it's his 10th film. And it's Star Trek, produced by Abrams. Fuck, you're looking at 6-7. It could make $1 billion, man. It could.
I don't know, man.
It could make
maybe.
But it's definitely going to be his biggest opening ever. For sure. No doubt in my mind.
His biggest opening ever, yeah.
So if you, if you're going to go out like that, because he doesn't want to make, you know, those shitty movies, it could still suck, right? But, man, if you're going to go out, you might as well say, man, I went out with my highest grossing movie, you know?
Yeah.
Might as well have that on your resume. So there's a part of me that, you know, wants to end on an original, you know, complete original like Kill Bill 3, but I'll be happy if Star Trek is his 10th film. And I'm not even a Trekkie, dude. This would turn me into a fucking Trekkie, you know? Like, you're the Trekkie and I'm the big Star Wars guy, but this, you know, this could be money. It sounds different. It sounds fun. It sounds fresh. It's old Tarantino, new Tarantino. And on top of it all, dude, I think this is the shot in the arm, okay, that Trek needs right now.
It does need some help.
On the big screen, anyway. I think they're going to be doing pretty good. Like Picard looks pretty good, you know? You know, the TV show there. But on the big screen, I wasn't a big fan of Beyond. I wasn't a big fan of Into the Shadows. I love Star Trek 2009. You know, so like Tarantino embracing this franchise, that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
So I turn you yet?
You have my attention.
All right, so you're still sticking with Kill Bill 3.
Man, I probably would, but I mean, you know what? I would be fine with Star Trek. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I am.
You can only pick one.
I do want that so fucking bad.
You can only pick one.
If I had to pick one, I'm picking Kill Bill.
Okay, and I'm going Star Trek.
Star Trek is an option.
Who won the poll? I don't have the poll in front of me.
It was
Kill Bill?
Kill Bill. It was Kill Bill by a lot.
Okay, and I think Jason did really well in that poll.
It was second, yeah.
That's awesome.
Star Trek was third.
Yeah, Star Trek was third. Yeah, that was a pretty good poll. So, all right, Nate, man, any final comments?
No, I don't think so, man. That was fun.
Yeah, you know what? Real quick, man, are there any actors you want to see Tarantino work with, regardless of the project?
You know what? I want to see Tim Roth come back. You know what I mean? He's done a little bit here and there, and I know he shot scenes for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that got cut. But man, I can't get enough Tim Roth.
You know, I love seeing when he resurrects careers. You know, I just watched Pulp Fiction last night, and goddamn, dude, John Travolta is so good in Pulp Fiction. I'm not saying I want to see John Travolta back because we already got that. Mark Forster, is it Mark Forster? I think in Jackie Brown. No, that's
his name, yeah.
Is that his name? I can't remember. Anyway, whoever played Max Jerry.
Max, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I can't think of his name right now. Mark Forster. I think that's the fucking director of Finding Neverland. What the fuck do I know?
I don't know, man, but Max, I got Max.
Yeah, Max Cherry, yeah, but yeah, Max Cherry. No, I love seeing Pam Grier and Jackie Brown, right? I love seeing new faces, new names, so I would love for Tarantino to work with Tom Hanks. Like a 30s gangster movie, and he's the fucking, like, the gangster.
Okay.
I would love to see that. Dude, I would like...
How about Nick Cage?
Dude, I would love Nick Cage in a Tarantino movie. Kevin Costner in a fucking Tarantino Western.
Oh, Kevin Costner would be fucking sick.
Dude, he could be in my 40 Lashes John Brown biopic.
Yeah.
It'd be fucking amazing. I don't know.
Honestly, who's the guy in Django? That's the slave owner.
Oh,
he's
from
fucking, what's his name?
Don Johnson?
Don Johnson, yeah. I just get a kick out of that scene every time I watch it.
Dude, I just watched that last night, too. That was fucking, I love Don Johnson. Anything Don Johnson's in. He should be in more shit, dude. Kevin Costner, though, I would like to see Tom Cruise. I think Tom Cruise underneath Tarantino, that would be great.
Yeah.
Dude, Jeff Fahey. You know I love that fucking guy, man. Jean, I can't even say his name. Jean Desjardins. I think that's some French actor that I love. Jean Desjardins. There you go. I had to do it with my shitty accent. Will Smith. I always wanted Will Smith after Django because Will Smith was in the running for Django and then he got Jamie Foxx. I would love to see what a Will Smith Tarantino movie looks like.
I want to see Tarantino team up with Jeff Bridges.
Dude, Jeff Bridges and Kevin Costner. Jeff Bridges, Kevin Costner, and Tom Hanks, all brothers in a gangster movie. How you buy that?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Patrick Stewart. Would that be money? Patrick Stewart and Ben...
Well, it would be money, yeah.
Patrick Stewart and Ben Kingsley as, fucking rival fucking gang members, Godfathers, in a 30s gangster movie, dude. Oh, my God. Eddie Murphy?
Oh, man, yeah.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, dude, that's why I don't want Tarantino to go, man. There's so many...
There's so much there still.
There's so much more there, man. Put these fuckers in a... Put Ben Kingsley in that spy movie that I want with Simon Pegg,
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, let's shut this motherfucker down, all right? Where can Videoland find you, Nate?
You can find me on Facebook, man, where the conversation begins and ends.
All right, man. You can find us on adventuresinvideoland.com. We are on Instagram. Have you been there?
I have.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's a trip.
Yeah, but the conversation always begins and ends on Facebook. You stole my thunder. You've been listening to Criticism in its finest hour. Until next time, my good people, live long and prosper, motherfuckers.